Indie Drinking Dead is live once again from Dave and Buster's in Castleton.
We're both dead and live.
David X.
It all ends tonight. I just caught that. It all ends tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Holly Garrett.
A new world is upon us.
And a big man, Desmond Garrett.
Hello, hello, hello.
This is going to be something, right?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
We're hoping so.
We'll give a quick shout out to Josh Featherstone, our favorite manager here at Dave and Buster's, who's now in New York. They need him at the New York store, and he took off today.
Wow. Oh,
the Big Apple, huh?
That's a long walk.
The commute is, huh?
He's the Morgan of Dave and Buster's. And just walking.
So in our previously on The Walking Dead setup, they kind of give us this reminder of where we are and what has happened as far as the Oceanside and Negan's surprise passenger.
Yeah, a little recap basically of what's in store for this particular episode here. And I must admit, I just watched this episode this morning. And this scene right here that we're watching right now, mm-hmm. This was Chandler Riggs' best scene on this show, and he's not even in it.
The reading of the letter.
It was the reading of the letter. And I'm being serious about that. It was his best work ever on this show.
So we open up with Rick sitting on the balcony, actually reading Carl's letter, and as Dave alluded to, it's all Chandler Riggs' annoying voice, and. But yeah, this is a pretty good scene. We see a solitary tear come down Rick's, the crybaby tear come down Rick's cheek. One salty tear.
I really did love this scene. This is a really good opening. I really felt what Carl was saying in his letter to Rick. I actually felt it.
Well, we get some really cool scenes too, because it kind of we kind of see a bit of the community underneath Rick. We get scenes of Michonne and Little Ass Kicker out there hanging out. And then we'll see another scene of, or another shot of, what's his name? Jerry carrying the baby that they stole right here. You see?
They stole this baby.
Negan brought it up at one point. Because remember he said, remember the baby? I wonder what happened to her. They didn't say anything about it. It's kind of like, yeah, we stole the baby.
Very true.
They stole the baby.
Very true.
Jerry's like, get in my belly.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
But ultimately this letter is Carl saying that, hey, I want to go back to some form of civilization and that I can still remember some civilization, and I want that. So we'll get some cool shots of everyone. As Carl reads the letter, as we see, the community working,
and it's really something because Carl is reminding Rick about when he was a kid and taking him on for walks and this, that, and the other, and you got to realize that Carl never really experienced full fledged childhood. He had to grow up really fast. And he just wants the same, not really the same, but he wants Rick to be a father to Judith. Give Judith all the things that Carl. Carl didn't experience growing up. Chandler.
We get a shot of Sadiq here as he steps out of the infirmary, now the chief doctor, which is the most dangerous profession in the Walker apocalypse.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, let's see how long he'll last, right? Let's take a pool or whatever.
So, I think there is a valuable message here to what Carl was saying and trying to create a better world for the young ones. I get that.
Yeah, I'm still thinking that these words will stay in Rick's, in the back of his mind when the time comes.
Well, it's designed to keep Negan alive, right? This is, Carl saying don't kill them
ultimately,
all.
Ultimately, yeah.
He's
yeah.
reminding Rick that there are just people in the sanctuary. There's workers, there's families, there's kids.
So as Michelle lays on the bed here, what weighs heavily on her heart is the letter that Carl wrote to Negan as she goes to the dresser. And the end of our code opening here is Michonne opening the dresser and seeing the letter addressed to Negan and the radio, which will ultimately be the end of the episode.
Do you think she was looking up at the ceiling of the mirror that her and Rick put up
there? Wow.
Perhaps. Perhaps that's what she was doing.
Just looking up at the ceiling mirror, you know.
Could be.
A lot of time on your hands in the Walker apocalypse, so you got to keep yourself busy somehow.
Just put a mirror up there, you know.
What are you on, man?
Lord, he'd never let me do that. Lori was all lights off. That's what we called her, was lights off Lori.
One position, that's it.
What are we going to see tonight, guys?
Bloodbath. I say bloodbath is what we're going to see tonight.
I know for sure we're going to get the result of Rick sitting next to the tree. And injured. We're going to get how and why and when that happened. We're going to get supposedly one final fight scene between he and Negan.
Oh, joy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm taking bets on Negan.
Yeah, really. You know?
I'll put my money on Negan. Yeah.
Do we really need to see another fight scene between Rick and Negan? I mean, is that, you know?
Hey, I'm putting my money on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's thinking, it's like, hey, or who's going to die? Who's gonna do this? Who's going to do that? I'm probably going to put my money on no one.
Oh, somebody's got to die.
I'm putting my money on no one.
No one dies.
I don't know for sure. Everybody wants somebody to die. I'm thinking that no one's going to die. I actually have a theory.
What is this, 90210?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to die?
Yes.
I came here for death. The heck is... Look, I ordered the unsweetened tea because it's going to be tears of Walking Dead fans here tonight
really
is what I want to sweeten my tea.
You may get background characters that die, but I'm saying maybe no one...
You say all red shirts is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a big... battle scene, yes, a big fight, a war, and this will be the conclusion of war. This is it. This is going to be it.
And no, I agree, I concur that this will be the end of the arc, and that we're going to get our time jump after this.
You know what? I was saying the same thing because, real quick, if they can time jump, you know how it was in the earlier seasons when they basically skip winter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that they would do that, and it would give Morgan time to travel down to Texas. Where he'll be on Fear of the Walking Dead, so
and do some okay, and it's like this, yeah, because Morgan will be in all episodes tonight, right? He'll be in Fear later on tonight as well,
right. Yeah.
So
coming back for season 9, if they just skip winter and there go that little time jump, and it will coincide with the time that Morgan will walk or whatever he's going down to Texas, whatever.
And the graphic novel does have the time jump, meaning as when all out war ends and this final battle happens. The next thing you see, it's 2 years later.
Yeah.
So, and wow, what's interesting is that Negan in the letter to Carl, when Carl's letter to Rick that Rick read, it discusses a 3-year-old walking with your 3-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm.
which gives us an indication that this is ultimately 3 years and 10 months since the turn.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's right when.
Sure. Absolutely.
So that does give us a great indication by him saying that.
He talks about when Rick got shot and mm-hmm. everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a pretty good, so we're 3 years into it. So Fear the Walking Dead is having a time jump, meaning everything that they've shown in the previews from Fear, and I'll get to this later on, it shows that there has to be a time jump. So we're back here at the sanctuary, and we see Simon and Gregory talking, of all people. Gregory is back at the sanctuary. So he's a survivor. He made his way back. And they're discussing the problems that they have in the past and how Gregory ultimately made Simon look like an idiot.
Sharing glasses of my favorite beverage, tequila, tequila.
I love Simon's psychotic. Stephen Ogg is such a great... you know, the eyes, the just the craziness
the
about
elastic
him.
Face.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's
and
like
his
putty.
His dialogue, his words, his choice of words, you know, no longer in the field of play, you know what I mean? So Simon lets Gregory know that he is now Negan, that he has taken control and that he was not happy with Negan's performance and that he's basically now the man in charge. But that comes with a price that he is ultimately going to have to get rid of Gregory to be to show that he is not weak. And I really like the way that Gregory fights for his life here. It's kind of a nice, you know, how he steps up to the plate to kind of show that he has some balls or what have you.
I mean, by looking at Gregory, did you ever think that he will survive this long? I mean, he doesn't have the quote-unquote balls to survive in an apocalypse like this, but he, like you said before, he is a survivor. He talks his way in and out of things.
He's a weasel. He's a weasel.
Absolutely. He's the biggest weasel.
Maggie identified him as being dangerous because he was a coward. That ultimately that's what made him so dangerous was his cowardice. You know, so it's really cool here how Gregory basically makes an appeal to Simon saying that, hey, if you get rid of me, you know, who's going to help you with all the politicking that needs to be done? You know? And I'm a politicking kind of guy. I'm the weasel you need.
That's exactly what he is.
But you know, and I like here how he finally stands up and makes his case as he pleads his case. He actually impresses Simon. I mean, you know, it does work to the extent that Simon sees something in him, some value in him, and that he at least is willing to fight for himself. And I think that's always been a thing with Gregory, is that he's been just seen as weak. So with him finally displaying some strength, and this episode is all about strength and worth, if you will, which is the name of the episode, but the worth comes from the strength. But it's interesting here how Gregory, you know, steps up and is immediately slapped down. But it's enough to look at the psychotic look in Simon's eye. That is awesome. Man, I wish I could look like that. I get a lot of work done. Look at that look. Man.
He was perfect for the role, man.
You'd be like, table for two, Mr. Garrett? There's going to be a half an hour wait. Then I get that look. I'm sorry, 10-minute wait. There's just an opening. But so, you know, Gregory is able to worm his way into a little bit more of an existence, kissing or licking Simon's boot here. So as we go back to the Oceanside, as the women walk through the woods, I want you to take notice of our short-haired Oceansider. She's pregnant. Look at her.
Oh.
The actress is pregnant. They're trying to hide it here. Yeah. But I thought that was very interesting. Unless there's a real good reason why Aaron's in the woods. you know what I mean? I was going to like, why are you hanging out here? What's going on? There are no dudes, and she's pregnant. You see that? She's pregnant. They're hiding that the actress is pregnant. They're not making a big deal about it, but I can tell you that she's pregnant.
So apparently Aaron's has been Little Red Riding Hood walking in the woods, just hanging out. I'm starving to death.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not sure what his game is other than to try to wear down their humanity here, which is what the ploy is. To be honest with you, I think this is one of the worst written aspects of this episode, was the Aaron Oceanside scenario. But we'll kind of get to that. So as we're back here at Eugene's outpost, he's putting together an old college recipe of his involving mac and cheese and sardines with Negan's wives doing the preparation. I like how Negan's wives are still dressed in their evening wear. Isn't that kind of cool how, like, you know, they still maintain?
I dig that. The
outfit.
You know, watching Eugene here with his little concoction of sardine and mac and cheese, I guess ramen noodles didn't make it through the apocalypse, did it?
There's a warehouse somewhere with them there, and they will be there for the next 10,000 years because they're not going to decompose or anything. They could probably build a whole new structure off of the ramen noodles.
Oh, yeah.
You would think that would be the last thing that pack of food that would survive in the Walking Dead. Ramen. Everybody's eating ramen.
So basically, Eugene gives the pep talk here that they are basically, there's no way they're going to be able to fill their order, but they're going to do their very best to produce as many rounds as possible to fill Simon's order. And at this point, they're under the impression that Simon is the one giving the orders.
Yeah, I don't know. I really, going forward in this episode, I didn't like Eugene's story here.
I think they left Eugene an open here. So as Eugene inspects one of the rounds, he sees that a primer is not properly seated, and realizes that he put Gabriel, Father Gabriel, on the priming station as far as priming the ammunition, and realizes that because of the bad primer, that it would create a slam fire situation for all of the for their weapons. What that ultimately means is that when they chambered a round, it would fire, and then it would just fire every round in the magazine. So when they went to cock their weapons, it would just fire and keep firing until the magazine was empty. There'd be no way for them to stop it without ejecting the magazine.
Ah.
It's what's called a runaway gun, and it's caused by things of that nature.
Ah.
Now, he says that he wants the primers flush. They really shouldn't be flush. They should be kind of like... Because flush, the same thing could happen. You want them slightly in for safety, but it's a whole reloading thing. So Father Gabriel lets you know that he wasn't trying to hurt anyone. His goal was trying to make the bullets not work. And we're going to see here at the end of the episode, I really think that Eugene possibly turned the corner here. And it's going to be on his choice of words. And we'll get to that when that point comes later in the episode. But I think Eugene definitely turns a corner.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? What do you think?
Good thing for depending on whose side you're on. I'm Team Negan, to be honest with you. But if you were, I suppose for you people on Team Rick, it's a good thing.
Hey, you're talking to a guy who had a hashtag Daryl Dies, a couple seasons back. So hold on now. Okay.
So you can be swayed. You're still on the fence. So basically, we get a little bit of Father Gabriel. He's broken at this point. He's back to the problem. Back to his initial sin, which was. Basically killing his parishioners but not letting them in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that he thought he was doing a good thing. He thought he had almost escaped, and he has, and he's back in the clutches of the saviors. So I like how, as Eugene sits him in the corner, he asks him not to cry. He's like,
don't
cry
too
loud.
Don't cry too loud.
So as Eugene goes outside to test fire some rounds that he knows were sabotaged, we get an awesome kidnapping here by Daryl and Rosita. Now, Eugene has a rifle in a case here. I don't know why they take the rifle and it stays with them. I don't know if this is going to come up later on or not, why they made a big deal about this, why it is there. It could be, who knows, but it's a prop that caught my eye and it stays there.
Rick needs to be taking note of that.
Yes. So as Dwight steps out to smoke a cigarette, he is surprised by the very much alive and well Negan, who at this point knows he's a rat. Now, this episode I found was the best episode for Negan to highlight Negan's intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
This was all Negan. I mean, if you don't like Negan after this, I don't know how you can't. Negan is extremely smart and sets this whole thing up. And I like the fact that he chooses the order. I mean, and I like how he kind of messes with Dwight here, letting him know that it kind of hurt him a little bit that they didn't come looking for him. As Dwight pushes everything off on Simon, saying, hey, Simon was in charge. He's your number two. I'm just Negan. I did what I was told to do. But I love the fact how Negan right now already knows.
Mm-hmm.
He already knows that Dwight is
yeah.
a rat.
Yeah.
What he doesn't know and what he still needs Dwight for are several things. So he still has to keep Dwight around here. And I wasn't sure to a degree if he was giving Dwight a chance or not. But he ultimately still needed Dwight to call out Simon. He had to get that resolved before he did anything. And I really like the way he does it.
Yeah, this was one of Negan's best episodes of this season. The way he manipulizes both Dwight and Simon, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it's a thing in beauty. Yeah, yep. It is brilliant.
He's a master manipulator.
Mm-hmm. And what was funny is that he plays on every emotion here. But I like how both men. You notice how close Negan gets to Dwight. Later on, Simon is going to get that close to him. Now, this character on the fence, I think this was – we're going to later see Simon on the fence. But at one point, Dwight hunted down a man who was actually our chicken tender, the guy who was tending the chickens. And remember when Dwight chased that guy down and he put him on the fence? That was during the episode called The Cell when Daryl was there.
Yeah.
And Dwight went out and caught a guy, and he brought him back,
right.
And he put him on the fence. So that's a callback to that episode. That's the guy on the fence. Mm. And even though the guy on the fence is wearing a shirt, I just think it's worn off. But we're going to see later on Simon on the fence at the end of the episode. Yeah. What's going to end up being Dwight wearing the prison suit again, as we see here in the preview. So this is going to be an awesome episode. A big major battle. You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to this.
Headline news, David.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
All
huh?
week long, I've been having to check Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Headline news. So-and-so commented on so-and-so commented. Man, you posted a video.
I posted a video earlier this week, downloaded and uploaded a video of Tommy Lahren. We all know the young blonde of Fox News is a very opinionated Trump supporter. And, she made some comments on Jay-Z's interview with David Letterman on David Letterman's Netflix show, and where Jay-Z was talking about Trump. And I just posted her. She has a segment called Final Thoughts, and I just posted that, you know. And apparently it ruffled some feathers. It got over 5,000 views and a hell of a lot of controversial comments on there, man. It was a big debate. Some comments that I cannot share over the air because they are very extreme. But it was been an interesting week.
What's going on with Screenland Squadron?
Screenland Squadron, you know, we're trying to buckle down the dates of when we can come back from hiatus and record some shows, though. But as always, you know, check out our social media. I got the just posted today the results of the box office from this weekend. Also, the new trailer to Incredibles 2. I got that up there. Got some more fun trailers. A horror movie coming out called Revenge. That trailer is up there. And, of course, the new trailer for Ocean's 8 starring Sandra Bullock and Cate Blanchett.
Wow.
That's all up there. You can check us out on Instagram at sl.squadron. Got some cool stuff, the Avengers, of course. Got some more news coming out on Instagram about Star Wars and the Solo Star Wars story. That movie's coming out. And check us out on Twitter at sl_squadron.
We just went and saw A Quiet Place.
Yes.
This weekend.
Oh, did you?
I'm not sure if I liked it or not.
Oh. A Quiet Place is a awesome movie. It is a classic, and it's quiet, too. It's very quiet. Hardly any music. You know, I thought it was good. I thought it was great. It was only budgeted for $17 million, and so far it's made over $100 million so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge. Holly, where are you playing this week?
Well, I'm not playing anywhere, but the Cosmic Preachers are playing at Indie CD and Vinyl next Sunday for Record Store Day. They're making a whole weekend of it, and we're playing at noon at Indie CD and Vinyl in Broad Ripple.
On Sunday?
On Sunday.
That's
Sunday,
pretty fun.
April 22nd. looking forward to it. I haven't been this excited about a music gig in a long time. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, that's very cool. Very cool.
So we're back here in the boardroom at the Sanctuary. And Simon is busy explaining his actions as Negan oils his bat.
Literally oiling the bat.
For yeah, sure. Yeah.
You notice that he keeps that thing clean, you know what I mean? I mean, it's covered in gunk half the time. Rick tried to burn it, so now he's just doing some maintenance.
That's yes, right.
So Simon basically is kissing ass here as best he can, which Negan, I am fairly certain, you know, at this point has many tricks up his sleeve, obviously, and knows that Simon is full of crap.
Hey, let's make point that, you know, not forget they're actually showing the season finale and the new episode of Fear in movie theaters, which should be starting in about a half an hour. Survival Sunday is what they call it, as you can see right down there. So this is Negan playing. He's literally playing Simon like Holly's fiddle.
What,
he's,
I agree.
See, there you go.
He's calling him out, and what we find out is what happened to the Oceanside community. What we find out in this conversation is that prior to them taking command of the Sanctuary, that Simon was the one who destroyed the Oceanside community and killed all of the men. So we find out a little bit about Oceanside here in this exchange.
Man, that was a huge revelation right there, a reveal, because nobody knew what happened. Nobody, you know, everybody thought, oh, Negan ordered it, but come to find out, it was all Simon.
It was all Simon.
Hmm. And Simon's crew, right? We can obviously see that Simon's crew is pretty much behind him.
And here you figure out that Simon has his own little group. I mean, yeah, he is number two, and he is in charge of certain people. But do you think all of them felt the same way, I mean, earlier, not just in this episode, but earlier about Negan? Because this has been rumbling for a while, obviously.
Keep in mind how many defeats they've had and how many victories. So, yes, in the number of defeats that they've had and the number of men that they've lost, there would have to be some kind of, feeling of disillusionment with management. So we get our old Robert De Niro untouchable scene here in the boardroom where we're kind of looking for Negan to beat the to give us the whole team player individual thing, baseball analogy, and bash Simon's head in. But I really like here how Simon ultimately mans up here and takes it. That he knew he had no play and he was basically at the mercy of, and he did not flinch. But what is interesting is that after Negan gives him the all is forgiven, he steps up his ass-kissing game to a point of almost, you can tell it even annoys Negan to the point.
He steps it up to DEFCON 10.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
I mean, when he makes the comment that the plan has testicular heft, I really felt like, it's like, are your hands on my nuts, dude? I mean, are you literally, So Negan lays out a plan here to set up a number of caches around the hilltop and to basically, snipe at them until they defeat them via attrition.
When I saw this map and I heard Negan's plan, I thought for a moment that maybe this was the deception that we were talking about, like the false plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So ultimately what we're finding out here is that Negan is using this opportunity to set up Dwight. Knowing that Dwight is a traitor, he is ultimately creating a fake plan.
Which is so smart, man. I mean, you
slick.
Yeah, you think of this and it's like, wow. I mean, you have to wonder what Dwight is thinking. You have to wonder what Simon is thinking right now, because Simon's probably thinking he's out of the woods. you know.
Well, yeah, and at this point, Simon has decided to make a go. What Negan did in setting him up, Negan set Simon up by forgiving Simon. Negan basically triggered him. All it does is prove. Now the reason why you had the scene at the beginning of the episode with Simon and Gregory, and Gregory saying, "I must kill you to not appear weak," was a setting up of basically Simon now. He feels that Negan is weak because Negan didn't kill him. Which accelerates his plan, which, you know, you know, afterwards. Here. And here Negan is, once again, making sure that he's got Dwight in an area where he can now play Dwight against Simon.
Just keeping him behind.
Yeah, Negan's really, really good. I thought the governor was kind of good with his mind games, but Negan's pretty good.
I think Negan's on a different level, on a whole other level.
Negan's on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Whole nother level. The governor was truly psychotic to a degree. You know, wanting to torture people, wanting to do specific things. Negan's not like that to that degree.
But Negan's calculated. He's cool and calculated, and he's patient.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Well, he also understands the idea of keeping your enemies close. He made it very clear there that he made Simon number two to keep him very close because he was a creepy, scary individual.
Yep.
And he basically thought, okay, well, I can harness this power, but I need to keep him close. I'll make him my number two. Mm-hmm. And we find out at the end of the episode when he makes Dwight number two, that's how he does things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's it's his own sick little joke. Hey, you're my new number two. You know, it's like, you know.
DES Construction.
Dynamic Electrical Solutions, DES LLC. We are a full-service electrical contractor, and we're getting pretty busy here for the year, but we are still taking on new clients, so give us a call at 317-446-3292 for any of your electrical needs.
DES.
DES. Yep. DES.
That's very simple.
Pretty simple.
Did you know you were going to go that way?
As far as the name?
Yeah.
Yes. And some people call me Desi. And if I incorporate, it would be DESI, Dynamic Electrical Solutions Incorporated. Being Desi. Okay. So then it's just easier to put on. I'm like Laverne from Laverne and Shirley.
That's
I already
I
have my
true.
Name on all of my, etched on all of my stuff. Except I don't have a name. I just have a big L, just like Laverne did. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. So I'm going to change that to DES at some point.
The Cosmic Preachers is your thing.
Yeah, just as Holly mentioned, we're going to be at NDCD and Vinyl for Record Store Day. We can also, if you're... like to check out the Cosmic Preachers, check us out at cosmicpreachers.com, where you can find a link to all of our published work at cosmicpreachers.com.
Cosmicpreachers.com, David.
Yeah, and we're always, matter of fact, we were just today, prior to earlier today, Holly was over at the house and with the rest of the band, and we are getting ready for our gig next week at NDCD and Vinyl, having a good old time.
Mm-hmm.
Rocking and rolling, pissing off my neighbors. we don't do that. Neighbors love it. Neighbors love it.
You know, with the Walking Dead here, I was reading an article earlier this week, and with the new showrunner, everybody knows, you know, Scott Gimple is, you know, not going to be the showrunner. He's going to oversee the entire Walking Dead franchise, including Fear and whatever else spinoff they want to do, if they're going to do another spinoff. But Angela Kang is taking over. She is she's an executive producer, also a writer for the show right now for this season, but she is taking over showrunner for The Walking Dead next season. But the article that I was reading is that for season 9, it's going to be a total reset. Like, just
this worried me.
It did?
Yes.
I don't think so, man. I think they need to, it's kind of like taking a step back and then just starting brand new. you know.
But the comic book does exactly the same thing. Yeah. I'm telling you, I mean, you know, it's and they have so many new characters coming. It's pathetic.
I mean, you think of the timeline. We're gonna get back to the show here in a second, but think of the timeline of the show. I mean, this has been one continuous long, if you want to say, summer since season four. We really haven't had any breaks per se. Maybe a week or two, but no significant extended breaks since season four, since they left the prison.
Right.
So they need a break and just to reset everything, and that's, you know, what she intends to do.
So we're back here on the road with Daryl, Eugene, and Rosita, and we already get Daryl pulling a knife on Eugene. Josh McDermott, is that his name?
Yeah.
He shows fear better than any actor I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's really good at that.
It takes me back to this guy I used to bully in third grade, and that's the same look. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's like every time I punched him, that was that look. No, I'm joking, obviously, but it's, my goodness, the look of fear in his eyes. He does that face better than any other. And there's going to be a transition in Eugene, and you'll see it in his face and in his demeanor. And it's not just the typical Dr. Eugene Porter crap that we've usually gotten. And I think it's this incident that changes it because, you know, they shoot at him. Rosita doesn't mess around.
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
Shoots at Eugene. And what I think is funny here, and this is all Rosita's fault because she should have kept her hand on him at all times. I don't know, Johnny, you used to be law enforcement type stuff, right?
Yeah.
Should her hand be on his right, like grabbing him right by the tricep
at all points? If she is escorting him, yes.
Yeah. She should have her hand on him at all times. Exactly. And that bothered me as she was walking with him.
You know what else kind of bothered? I noticed like little stupid crap like this. So in the apocalypse like this, I just now noticed, or earlier today when I was watching the show, that Rosita's eyebrows are just neatly done. I mean, to a T.
I thought you were going to say she's still wearing a bra. How is that possible? Because I was pissed off about that, too. But, yeah, the eyebrows. The eyebrows.
You was wondering if it's cold out, weren't you? I mean, look at those. Just so perfectly just done. Like, she just got them done.
Well, you know what? They probably, honestly, that's one of the easiest things to do. What, tweezers? You know what I mean? They probably, you know, all get together and do that. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, why not? They've got plenty of time. It's not like they need a whole bunch, you know what I mean? And I'm sure some Vietnamese ladies survived the apocalypse.
We love you long time.
I said that. But I didn't take it there. What I said was legitimate. Because
nobody caught that.
Because much of nail and eyebrow work legitimately came from Vietnamese women who actually were the first ones that started in this country. After the Vietnam War. That's a whole other story. It's a history thing, though. Pretty interesting. The more you know. So we get a knock on the door here of Dwight's place, and it is Simon. And a very interesting scene here with Dwight and Simon. And I really like how Dwight, as Simon makes it clear that their time to move is now, and ask what it was that Negan wanted when he held him back. But at this point, Simon is ready to make a move and is a little perturbed that he has to sell it to Dwight. Assuming that Dwight, you know, would be his strongest ally considering the whole burn. You guys remember Little Timmy and the Dick Brigade?
Yeah.
You remember how one of Little Timmy's guys, go back and watch it, had the burned face? Go back and watch that. One of Little Timmy's guys had the burned face. And at the time, I didn't connect the dots. Because I was like, what's up with his face? I may have even mentioned it at the time, but I didn't connect the iron.
Connection.
Mm-hmm. So as another person gets all up into Dwight's face, this is really a weird episode for Dwight because his emotions have been taken every which way but loose. You know, he's kind of like he's plotting against Simon while plotting against Negan while plotting against the Saviors. You know, it's like a weird whole triple agent thing going on.
It's a love triangle.
Yeah, it's a really weird. It's like, I'm not, you know, can he keep track of whose side he's on at any given point for anything? So as Dwight goes along, I almost thought he was going to kiss him. Simon looks like he's going to kiss him. He's kind of like, man, when this is over, after. I lay with you after.
Something I picked up from the garbage people.
Did anyone here expect Dwight to make the move that he did?
No. I didn't. Just being honest.
Can you be more specific?
As far as ratting out Simon.
I didn't see it coming. But when it happened, I was like, survival technique, you know, strategy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because he doesn't know that Negan knows
exactly.
about Dwight at the time. So
yeah, he has no
he's
clue.
Just trying to stay in Negan's good graces.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Well, and he made it clear, you mean, because if Dwight thought that Simon would win, well, why not? But he didn't think so. You know, he made it clear Negan would win. I still don't think we could pull this off, you know. But I think it's also true that maybe they do recognize Dwight. I mean, Simon as being a sick, demented individual.
It's a psychopath.
Yeah, he's pretty crazy.
Indie Drinking Dead is live from Dave and Buster's in Castleton.
Can you believe it?
Yes.
This is it, man. I mean, this season's gone by fast.
Yeah. It's been a good little hole for us. Food's good. Service is good.
I was out there playing games with my daughter and everything, man, sweating like a Hebrew slave in bondage, but I was still having fun. Well, I was. I mean, maybe because I got on this jacket, you know, and it's hot in here, but it was fun, man. I like this joint, you know.
That's it. It was fun.
Sounds like something Jay-Z would say.
Oh boy. But yeah, man, I'm a. This place has been good. The food is great. I have to say the food is good. Even the pink lemonade is pretty good. I had the chicken fingers today, which is also good.
And I didn't know chickens had fingers. They're good though, right?
Yeah. Chicken straps, fingers, you know, whatever, whatever you want to call it. But I mean, this second half of season 8, man. I keep saying it every week. This has really been a good 8 episode arc right here.
Yeah. So is the new showrunner you're saying writing? My only issue is that I have noticed as this Walking Dead has gone on.
Yeah.
That their technical ability and their survival, if you will, realism, has gone downhill.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really, really gone downhill. Like, I found the whole Aaron Oceanside arc of this episode to be useless and ridiculous.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're going to come up here on Aaron out in the middle of the rain. Out in the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like
it was a pointless arc.
The point behind it? I almost lost respect for Aaron. It's like, wouldn't this the guy who's always out looking for new people?
Yeah,
you mean tell me he's just out in the woods?
He would literally be out weeks at a time.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
on his own.
And their story arc for him is, I mean, just doing what he's doing, you'd have so many bug bites on you. You would.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? You could die from exposure, pure exposure. So it just seems a little stupid, given what we know about Aaron and the entire writing and what they look to get out of it. I'm not sure. So as we're back here on the Yellow Brick Road with Scarecrow, Tin Man,
Cowardly Lion,
and Dorothy.
And Dorothy.
Yeah, the Cowardly Lion. Daryl moves forward here to take out some walkers, and this is the moment that Eugene is able to formulate his escape using vomit.
I mean, vomit obviously paralyzes people, man.
You know, I find it works different with women. You notice how she takes it here? Like, you know, she's been babysitting probably since she was like 12, so not the first time she's had a you know, puke on her like that. She kind of just like, you know, like she's burping a baby, and all of a sudden she says kind of like that same look that a typical mom gives, like, oh, man.
You know,
but it doesn't freak out, you know.
You know, the way he threw that up, I was expecting like a little alien to like
pop out of his chest. Yeah. <You know? laughs> So Rosita actually throws a good, you know, 6-7 round burst at Eugene. And as they make their way through the ashes of corpse, they don't realize that Eugene has tricked them. So Daryl, the best tracker in the world, is outsmarted by Eugene. And if you recall the first episode, Eugene didn't even know how to work a weapon. Now he's making ammo. Just saying. So
scary thought.
Scary, right? Where you remember that? Right? Yes. He couldn't defend himself. Now he's like the firearms expert of the apocalypse.
Here we are, Desmond's favorite scene.
Yeah, so I love the episode, but I just found this whole arc to be ridiculous. It was just, you know, okay, now he's getting some water, which is smart, you know, but why is he exposing himself like this? Why is he out in the woods like this? Maybe that's how that one Oceanside lady got pregnant.
Yeah,
something's going on.
Well, then, you know, he's too weak to fight.
Well, yeah,
he doesn't have any strength to get rid of the people he needs to get rid of.
Now, and I think what we're supposed to take away from this is that because of the death of, what's his name?
His boyfriend at the time?
Yes, okay. Because of the death, he has yet to deal with that. He hasn't been home since. He hasn't done anything. So this is a little bit of his walkabout. This is a little bit of his cleansing, if you will.
Grieving,
he's going to wash that man right out of his hair. And, you know,
wow.
But you know what I mean? It's a little bit of his, you know, everybody goes crazy when they lose somebody.
Right.
And this is a little bit of his, you know, self mutilation, if you will. This is, you know, him, his fast, his crazy walk through the woods, if you will. But, you know, trying to kill two birds with one stone, trying to be useful. But I think he's punishing himself, ultimately. If that makes any sense. At least that's what I did the last time someone shot my boyfriend.
Pretty much a scene just
really?
Like this, right?
Really?
I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, but I see what you're saying. I mean, they made Aaron basically look, I mean, yeah, he's killing Walker, but they kind of make him look weak here, you know?
Well,
I mean,
just stupid. I mean, just the whole, yeah. Maybe not weak, but stupid. Just like, what is the whole purpose behind this? And then I like how, as the ladies find him eventually, he's able to regain consciousness long enough to give a little speech about Natanya and then pass right back out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, really?
How convenient.
This is, yeah. You know, it's like he wakes up and he's like, death by snoo-snoo. You know, he's surrounded by, you know, he's like, whoa, wet T-shirt contest going on here. All right. Oh, yeah. Giggity, giggity. But
I love women.
Right.
Love women.
Yeah. He's kind of like, oh, wait a minute. You know, I may have discovered something here I didn't know was going on before. So, you know, as he gives his speech here about the Savior, and you think about how much is going on that Aaron doesn't know about at this point, right? Aaron doesn't know about a whole series of events that's happened. What our hope is that Aaron comes and saves the day with an army of Amazon warriors. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, that's what we see to save the day is this crew.
I think that's definitely the setup, that they're going to be a part of the finale. Yes. Yeah.
It would be nice, especially, but you know what? I think it would have been a lot. I would have loved to see these women kill Simon.
Oh, right.
Knowing that was the history, yes, right? It would be nice to see these ladies actually get their revenge on Simon. That would have been awesome.
You know, there's also, you know, I read maybe, and like I said, I did not look ahead and look at spoilers like I did seasons past, but I really didn't, seriously. But, I mean, I was just reading stuff that I just happened to find online. There's like one theory that there may be a post-credit scene coming up after the finale to set up things for next season. I mean, they've done it before, so they might do it again. And also, we maybe get another character tonight that we haven't seen, a new character that also set up for season. I mean, we got George, whatever her name is, Jane Atkinson. There's an actress by the name of Maria Bello who, a year and a half ago, said that she was going to be on the show, and they actually gave her credit for an uncredited scene or an unspecified character that's supposed to be shown in season 8 now.
Huh.
Whether they're going to introduce her, I don't know. Maybe we get to see her tonight. Who knows? But the rumor and innuendo out there, is that, people think that she's going to be Alpha from the Whispers.
What about Jadis? You think we'll see her tonight in the finale? Is her story done for now, or will we see more of her?
We have to see more of her. I don't think that story is ended just yet.
But tonight.
Tonight,
we see more of her in season, or is that all done? There's nothing more.
Oh, you mean for next season?
Well, for tonight. For the finale of season 8.
I think we will have to see her again.
What more does she have to offer?
Well, she's still out there. The helicopter really hasn't been established yet.
That's what I'm saying. Unless we get like helicopter or some big surprise,
yeah.
Is there any reason for her to pop up in tonight's episode?
I wouldn't think so.
I don't see it.
I think they ended her story for the time being pretty well last episode.
Right. There's no need to bring her. You know what I mean? Yeah. If they did, cool. I'd like to see her.
Right.
If they didn't, would we miss?
Unless a helicopter is going to be back, but.
And I think that's something that obviously they can't explain all that tonight, right?
Sure. Uh-huh.
So what's the point of bringing her in if they can't explain all that? Because I can only see it coming in if, like, the helicopter comes in to save the day or whatever, or, something of that nature. Still not sure on that.
Or she can always be in the helicopter coming in,
like
Arnold Schwarzenegger coming in to say, get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper. Yeah.
She can always do that.
Now, what do you think of this movie, David?
I'm not into it. It's not my thing. I don't know, but I've played the game.
The game is nothing like the movie.
The game is nothing like the movie.
But it has Negan in it.
It does. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He's in it. I think he's playing a dick in it, but he's in it. It's number one at the box office this weekend. $35 million.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Wow.
Barely beat out a quiet Place.
So as we're back here in the courtyard near Dwight's cigarette that Negan had him put out, a nice little reminder there that Negan set up. First one out of the gate is Gary. Now let me ask you guys this, and we also see Gregory as part of this group.
Yeah.
And Gary makes mention that he's sure that Dwight wanted to do this long ago. But I have to ask you, one, is Gregory aware of what's going on, or did Negan just spare him out of, the usefulness factor?
I was thinking the same thing.
And did, because I really love the way that Negan takes out the crew. And was this a satisfying enough death for Gary? Did you want to see Gary
I didn't buy
kicked around a little bit more?
I didn't buy the toughness of Gary anyway. So it really didn't matter to me.
But after he kicked the crap out of Aaron, I kind of wanted to see him. Gary was specifically brutal for no reason. You know what I mean? I kind of wanted to see him. Like, when they killed Davey, I liked Davey's dad. Negan kind of knifed him in the throat.
Yeah.
It was satisfying, at least to that degree, So as Simon makes his speech here to his crew of conspirators, the coup crew, he basically hands over the kill, if it is desired, to Dwight. And I really like Simon's BS of how, hey, we're really grateful to Negan. We should do this with respect. And makes it known that after they finish, that then they will wipe out the hilltop. And I like how they, no offense to Gregory.
And they have a woman in the group, too, and I didn't realize that at the first watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Little short one.
Yeah. It takes her out, too.
Yeah, well, this whole crew gets taken out. Like I said, it wasn't satisfying enough for me for Gary. Everybody else was a red shirt to me, but I wanted to see Gary, get a kind of, something.
You wanted to see the same fate as your other rat face Jesus did last episode?
Yeah, something. Yeah. So as the, Simon is alerted by Negan's whistle, he realizes at this point that he has been betrayed by Dwight, who is not done betraying people this episode. But
and he's just looking right at Dwight.
Yeah,
he's,
Simon's got a really, really bad, bad stare there at Dwight, and he basically goes after Dwight. But I really like the 3-2-1 as we see the entire crew killed except for
Gregory.
Gregory.
Yeah, look at him. There go my girl right there.
Arat.
Arat, I love her. Hey, they got Snoop Dogg in the back, too.
So as Simon goes after Dwight, we see that the gateman is now seems to be one of Negan's top henchmen. You guys notice that? That he was the guy who carried the maps?
Yeah, yeah.
And that he was also the one at the gate. What we're seeing here is that when Negan came back to that gate, he had to take that whole crew and basically promote them all. You know, it's like, okay, you guys now have a secret. You're just at the right place at the right time to get promoted. You guys have a secret, so he had to keep them tight, let them know, you know, that was his crew to pull off this, his subterfuge, if you will. So Negan brings up to Simon his murder of the garbage people, but ultimately gives Simon a shot at the title.
He does. He really does. He says the quote is, like, to beat a man, you got to beat the man.
Which I'm going to tell you is the difference between Negan and everybody
yep,
else.
Yep, that's right.
This is when have you ever seen Rick say, okay, fight me for it?
You want to beat a man, good. You got to beat the man. That's an old Ric Flair saying.
And that's what
if
this is all about.
If you can do that, then you should be the man, he says.
Negan realizes that he has a mutinous situation. It's not solved by just killing.
Mm-hmm.
That would solve nothing, which is why he didn't call everybody out. He needed to know who was involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
So by allowing it to go its full course, he got every single member. Now he must convince the rest of his unit that he is firmly in charge. The only way to do this is by Mortal Kombat, yep. And I really respect the heck out of this.
Yeah, he could have easily told him to get on his knees and bash him with
Absolutely.
The bat. No, man, this is one-on-one, hand-to-hand.
But what would that have done to this crew of guys? Mm-hmm. These people want to see results. He's alpha in a pack of alphas, and he wants to make sure that he's got it firmly planted. I really like this. I did. This is what makes Negan Negan. And I like Simon's cheap shot here to kick things off. Really good fight between these two.
I honestly have to say that Simon fared much better than Rick did in his fight. he really did. This was pretty even up until a certain point. Up until, you know, Negan got the upper hand.
Simon's a much more imposing figure physically. In the old days when the kings of old and the Roman emperors and what have you would do such a thing, they would usually drug people first, right? You know, if they're going to engage in mortal combat, especially in an arena in front of people, they would usually drug the guy, make sure they won. So as Negan takes Simon down,
sweep the leg,
Dwight, and it's fairly obvious here where this fight's going to go. Gregory takes the moment to kind of like, all right, well, it's time for me to move away, back away, disco lady. He's doing the disco stew thing and backing out. And Dwight takes the opportunity to hand him a message for Rick, explain to him that that's probably his only way back in. It's the only move you got. And hands him the keys to a car and sends him on his way. And I really like how the next scene you see is Gregory being escorted back into the pen. As if, you know, yeah, we don't trust you either, buddy. So as Negan chokes out Simon, he lets it be known that ultimately the cost of everything is now that he has to kill everyone. You know, it was not what he was looking to do, but at this point he has no choice but to kill everyone at the hilltop.
Yeah, I was just waiting for Simon's eyeball to pop out, like his head in the vice from Casino. You know that scene? Joe Pesci put the, my yeah, man's exactly. head in the vice.
It's waiting for everybody to clap. Where's the clap? His crew should all be like, slow clap, and everybody right. just
And
rolls,
then everybody
you know?
Get into unison.
Yeah.
Not so much.
So Negan pretty much has solidified his position as head of the Saviors, as if it were ever in doubt. But he has eliminated all obstacles. I mean, all of the opposition, at least open opposition.
Mm-hmm. Truth or dare, David?
Yeah, truly. What about it, man? This movie had potential, but it didn't do well in the box office whatsoever. And it was real. And it's I don't want to say a travesty, but for the studio Blumhouse, who's come out with some great movies, Get Out, to for example, Blumhouse has been really doing it well with horror flicks as of late, but this one didn't.
Right.
This one didn't do so well.
Hmm.
Maybe because it had teenagers in it. I don't know.
Yeah, it looked good to me.
Was there any nudity?
I don't think so.
There you go.
Yeah. Which is why Friday the 13th and all those other slasher movies and Eddie did so well.
Uh-huh.
You know, they showed a couple boobs here and there. You know, you got to. You know, I was watching, side note, I was watching, speaking of boobs, I was watching, I was watching, you know, this show on Netflix called Piranha. You know, I didn't think it was going to be that good, but it was okay. It amused me. A lot of boobs in that one, too.
I was wondering where you're going
with
that.
Yeah, but it was Piranha. It's like a little throwback to those 80s just B movies, I guess you want to call them, but it was very entertaining.
Piranhas and boobs don't mix, man.
Obviously, it really didn't at the time. I mean, I think there was one scene where actually a silicone pack was just floating in the water.
Yeah, that's not good for the piranha. Not good for the piranha.
You know. So I mean, if you want to laugh, and I suggest, you know, all the listeners go to Netflix if you have a Netflix account and look up Piranhas, you'll definitely laugh.
So I was thinking about this. Everybody get their taxes done?
Yeah.
This is like the final of Walking Dead. I consider this Negan Day, tax day. It's like Negan is a big representative of government. You know, the analogy of government in this has been Negan. It kind of sucks for me to say I'm Team Negan because I'm not a government kind of guy. But, you know, the whole taking your stuff and all of that. So I just find it interesting, tax day.
Huh.
And it's the Walking Dead. Or the day that we defeat, you know, or the end of all-out war, you know, is tax day.
What do you hear about Maggie?
There's nothing to say about Miss Lauren Cohen as of right now. She still hasn't signed. I mean, hey, man, she's holding out. I mean, she can always sign, you know, from now till they start filming.
When do they start filming?
What's this, April? Ooh, in less than a month?
Yeah.
I mean, and also, I was thinking about this earlier this week. If they do a little mini time jump, and let's say she doesn't sign, they can always write her off the show. Like, oh, she died over the winter or something, mm-hmm. You know. It gives them a little leeway. But, I mean, they have to work something out. Just pay the woman. Just pay the woman, please.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I don't see how they can't – I mean – they've got a lot of new stuff to happen. And if they start creating these superstars who have to be there, that just limits them, you know? So we're back and we see Gregory put back into the pit. I just love the look on his face because he's by himself, too. That just sucks. He's just
right back
by
where
himself,
he started.
You know?
I know.
And I wonder, what could he have done? I mean, would it have been better for him to stay there when everybody took off? What could he have done?
That's true.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he should just be by himself. He should have just went off by himself, but he can't live by himself. So as they get the false information, up until this point, they've trusted everything they've gotten from Dwight. So we're only going to assume there that they're going to go for it. This is my favorite scene here as Negan gives Dwight a great pep talk and basically gives him the position of second in command. I got a whole Wesley Snipes vibe from this final scene of Negan's in the room.
Ooh, what movie?
Just Blade.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I just got a which wasn't Daryl in?
Yes, Blade 2.
I got a – and what it was Negan's voice. I think he was really channeling this whole inner Wesley Snipes thing.
I was going to say Nino Brown.
Jack City. Not here, but when – okay, so we're going to get the surprise of Laura in the room. When Negan starts addressing Dwight in the room and talking to him, it very much – like if you just close your eyes and imagine that it's Wesley Snipes from like Blade talking to him, it just kind of has the same vibe. Lots of breathing, like, you know, when he talks, when he says words. So as we see here, the very hot Laura, still looking like she's a little rough from being on the road.
She's sunburned, completely sunburned. Yeah. You know?
And unfortunately, we don't see the tan lines, but we're hoping they're there. And Laura lets it be known here that the only thing that kept her going was the thought of confronting him. So IMDb was right. Laura was, on this episode, mm-hmm. and she is back. And Negan has basically brilliantly played this, just mm-hmm. absolutely brilliant. So this is going kind of his Wesley Snipes scene.
I think they forgot to put her tattoo on the back of her neck.
I was looking for it.
It wasn't there?
It wasn't there. I didn't see it.
It didn't look.
Oh, maybe finally I can take her home to mom. That was the only thing that was really holding things back.
Maybe
you know?
The camera angle was bad or whatever. But yeah, I was looking for it.
I wanted to scan her, see how much she cost.
It's a tribal thing. It's not actually a barcode. It's tribal. It looks like a barcode.
Darn, I was going to use my Kroger Plus card.
And when I say tribal, as in my tribe from Africa, that's exactly what it is. So Negan lets it be known here that Dwight has done nothing. He's not a hero. He's been basically used. And that the information he has given the Hilltop is all false information.
Incorrect, yeah.
And he's basically been used. And we can see by the look on Dwight's face, I mean, this has just got to be an incredibly bad sinking feeling for Dwight.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know? It's just like, oh, man, yep. I am caught. There's nothing I can do. I'm going to be in that cell listening to Easy Street.
Yeah, if you watch the previews of the finale, you see he's wearing Daryl's outfit, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the potato sack.
So, you know, this is pretty much a very bad thing for our team here, right? Like I said, I'm Team Negan. But for the Hilltop, because it very much looks like that all the cards are in Negan's hands, you know, he's got the juice.
He is the juice.
But, you know, this has been costly for both sides and costly enough that we're going to find out here in the end that Negan, at this point, is not even along the idea of saving anyone. He's like, as far as I'm concerned, you should all die. There is no – I wouldn't take your surrender if you offered it. Which I believe he would have up until this point.
Yeah.
But so much has happened that he can't. So look at Eugene's face as he walks back in. This is a new Eugene, and listen to the choice of his words. And look as he looks at Regina. He could kiss Regina right now. Look at this. Regina's kind of like, oh, whoa. You know what I mean? She's like, I've never felt this way about me. You know, look at him. He's looking at her, and look at her. She's kind of like submitting to him almost. And he's kind of like, you know, she's looking into his
eyes. She is 50% more
attracted to him right now, is she, right? Yeah. And look at Eugene. This is the first we've ever seen him like this. This is just a hardcore alpha, you know.
And she is standing at attention with her head raised up, listening to him.
Yeah, she is completely. I mean, this isn't a woman who's just going to take it from anybody. You
she's
know
completely
I mean?
She's turned
strong.
On
yeah.
right now.
So as the choice of words he uses are clear. Then by ginger.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting that he said by ginger. What does that mean? He's very careful about his choice of words, but he says by ginger. And he talks about doing something with his pathetic life. Listen to the words that this man uses, okay? Something has happened to him. And I'm not sure what it is, but that's kind of another theory. But what's also interesting is that he goes and grabs Father Gabriel and puts him back on the line. Why? He needs an ally. And he puts him on the position of sorting shells, which, you know, I don't know. But it very much sounds like he's basically telling Gabriel, do what I say, but this is what we're going to do. And as Eugene pounds the table, he takes the priming station, the very station that we were worried about. That's a primer. That's a device used to prime shells. And that is the exact station that he takes, as if he's going to prime every shell himself. So not really sure what's going on here. Is this redemption from Eugene? I'm not sure. So we kind of go back here, and if we remember when Dwight was, or back at the sanctuary, when Dwight was staring at the walker on the fence that he put there, now Negan has the walker on a fence that he put there, which is now Simon, who makes not a bad walker.
No, he's still walker. He's still fresh.
Yeah, and in his head, what's he thinking right now? He's like, this is my last scene. I got to get paid. I wonder when that check clears. This is it, man. This is it. What am I going to do next? Man,
I'm getting that Lauren Cohen money.
Yeah. He's like, I hope there's a new Grand Theft Auto. Something there. maybe they could use me on Fear. I don't know. So Michonne gets close enough to the sanctuary to use her HT, to her radio, to speak to Negan. And I like that Negan makes the point of, once he realizes that it's Michonne, he says, you know, the one with the dregs and the dread and the sword. I was going to say, the sexy hot one.
Yeah.
that you, boo?
My ex-wife.
Yeah.
That's you, boo.
But and makes it known that he may not be able to protect the messenger, but that she's going to basically read Carl's letter.
He was already sizing her up for that black dress and heels, man.
Yeah, he was, he you know, Negan's it's always in the back of his head.
He's a lover and a fighter.
This is where I get along with Negan, because I don't think my post-apocalyptic world would be that much different than his. I'm kind of like a cross between Negan and Joe and the Claimers. I'd be right somewhere there in between. I wouldn't abide by any raping or anything like that. Can't have that. But, you know, other than that, it's all fair game.
Still have the women dressed in all black like in a Robert Palmer video?
Well, I mean, they can dress how they want to dress. I mean, just don't expect any food. Right? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you, you know, I got a can of beans and I got a nightie. You know, we can put these two together or not. It's how it works.
Can of beans and a nightie.
So as
whichever works for you, darling, you know.
So as Michonne finishes reading the letter to Negan, you know, Negan is clearly, he still has some feelings for Carl here, but he's not impressed. At this point, I really like his reply, because the reply is basically no. You know, I'm not doing this again, and breaks the radio. Because at this point, I think he realizes there is no further way to go. The saviors have to go extend further. They have to kill all the communities that they were extorting and find new ones. Yeah, kind of a bad thing.
Yeah. And I mean, he mentioned, you know, while he was strangling Simon, that he didn't want to do it, but because of what Simon did, he has to now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has no choice, because, you know, there it was. These guys are fighting to the death now. There is no deal to be made. There is no anything of that nature. So might as well go for it. But this is the same. If you notice, the last time Rick was on the radio, Rick was saying the same thing to Negan.
Yeah,
you know, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna do all this. So, kind of interesting.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Until next time, this is Indie Drinking Dead. Mr. David Banks.
Enjoy the show, everybody.
Miss Holly Garrett.
So long.
The big man, Desmond Garrett.
Hello, goodbye.
And I am Johnny, and we will catch you later.